A reading from Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And a reading from Romans, chapter 8, verses 26 through 28 and 31 through 39. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to His purpose. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, will He not with Him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Last week I attended a lecture by the renowned journalist Ray Suarez entitled, "Who Will Be in the Pews in 2040? Suarez is an experienced researcher of religious communities and trends, as well as an active member of his own Episcopal Church. He summarized what studies reveal about religion in 21st century America, especially mainline Christianity and Judaism. In short, traditional organized religion is becoming increasingly less appealing, and ever faster with each passing decade. Suarez pointed out that in just 7 years, from 2007 to 2014, the percentage of adults who are unaffiliated with a religious identity changed from 16% to 23%. 7% in 7 years is a dramatic change in those numbers across the entire U.S. population. There are now 20 states in the country where no religion is the largest category of religious identity. The shift away from organized religion is most pronounced with young adults. 36% of younger millennials are religiously unaffiliated. Researcher David Kinneman wrote a book called Unchristian, where people ages 16 through 29 were asked what came up when they heard the word Christian. It's not great news. Of the top 10 words that came to mind for participants when they heard Christian, 7 of the top 10 were negative words. 75% said hypocritical. 87% said judgmental. And a full 91% said anti-gay. Ouch. This is the reputation that Christianity has
because of the effects of many churches and Christians over the last half century in our country. Our actions as the church more broadly in these last decades have created an opinion like that in broader culture. To that I can only pray, God, help us in Christ to have mercy. I'm afraid that Ray Suarez didn't have a tidy prescription either to offer for progressive faith communities like ours who don't fit the stereotype that's out there. In the face of such cultural headwinds, Suarez offered three suggestions. First, he said, strive for excellence in what we already do well. Roll out the welcome mat to the best of your abilities. Meet people in our brokenness and humanity. Keep the lights on within our institutions. There is gift in what has been and what is still coming to be. Second, he said, be as much dedicated to mission beyond the church as prayer within the church. Focus on living what we preach, making this faith as tangible and take-home as possible. Third, he suggested we adopt an entrepreneurial attitude within the church. Let 1,000 flowers of creative innovation bloom in community life, because we don't know what's going to take root, what's going to grow and succeed, reaching people, hearts, and minds in this current climate. We live in a period of turmoil, especially for those of us who get our paychecks from the institutional church or who gather on a Sunday in this context and climate. Yet we live with faith that calls us here in the first place. Whatever the future holds, we trust in the God who will be present in the years ahead, as present as in the earlier communities that brought us to this place. Uncertainty about what's new in the church is not new, however. Uncertainty has been there even from the very beginning. We hear it right there on the day of Pentecost. This is the story that we hear each year on this Sunday, 50 days after Easter. When Jesus was with his disciples after the resurrection, until the Bible describes his ascension into heaven, leaving the disciples to wonder, huh? What next? The future is uncertain. All the wonder and mystery and power of Jesus' ministry among them has passed away. But there's no sense yet of what faithful living looks like in the coming years. So these people of faith do what they know how to do. They gather in Jerusalem with other faithful Jews from around the whole known world, prepared to celebrate the Jewish festival of Pentecost at the temple. Then, as we heard, the Holy Spirit shows up in the powerful sounds of rushing wind and tongue-like flames that hover over the heads of the disciples, who begin speaking in all the languages of the world. Acts, the book of Acts, from here on, describes for chapter after chapter how the disciples are led into the busy streets of Jerusalem and then beyond, cause a commotion there, and use the global voices they now know to tell of Jesus and God's love. Note the resonance then with what Suarez describes or suggests for our own time. First, they keep the flame of faith alive by their loyalty to religious practice. Second, God sends them out of the building, out into the streets with mission. And third, they use a multitude of languages to meet people where they are in order to share good news. Everything else that's come in the church, in these two millennia afterwards, churches and basilicas and cathedrals and liturgies, all of it stems from this moment, including the churches or other places of worship where your ancestors and mine gathered for worship. Who could have known then what would have come next on that day of Pentecost? But this is how it is with the Holy Spirit of God that Jesus promised. She inspires the imagination, fires the heart, and makes possible more than we could envision for ourselves. The Holy Spirit is sometimes shown like a dove, a bird here, after the form that descended on Jesus after his baptism. Peter Marty, publisher of the Christian Century magazine, sees Holy Spirit lessons for the church now in how actual birds flock and cluster together. How many of you have seen murmurations or starlings, videos of great clouds of birds that flow together, growing greater and smaller in number? Marty describes thousands of these tiny birds that flock together, swooping, dipping, and climbing in a graceful uniformity. The sudden swelling or contracting of a flock is one of the most fascinating phenomena known to nature. Thanks to high-speed photography, researchers today know why starlings interact so coherently and how they avoid a mid-air collision. Each starling pays attention to only 6 or 7 surrounding birds. There is no designated leader of the flock. Any bird can initiate a change of direction. A consensus among hundreds or even thousands of birds can emerge within 50 milliseconds. This is instructive, Peter Marty says, for Christians who gather in our own Holy Spirit murmurations. That's the name of those bird clouds. He says, congregations that know how to move thus with spontaneity, but which enjoy order within that spontaneity, are such congregations. They don't obsess over rules, yet they understand good process. They don't have a hierarchy plan for every new initiative, yet things do get accomplished week by week. They don't expect everybody to know everybody else, yet groups of people do purposeful things and build intimate community. Through the interplay of believers trying to find their way together, such congregations build a coherent and meaningful life. As with the believers on that first Pentecost arrival of the Holy Spirit, so it is with us now. Even though we may not know the exact forms of faith in the next years or decades, we trust the Holy Spirit's guidance, who has brought us this far by faith. And we work together to build a church with enough communication to keep us together as a flock, yet with enough freedom for this Spirit to keep leading us in new directions, which any of us, member or non-member, staff or not, any of us can spark and lead. At the end of the day, as a pastor and a church have been sustained by the Holy Spirit to this point, we trust the guidance of God even when we don't know the way ourselves. The Apostle Paul's promise to the church at Rome remains evergreen for the church now. And for every graduate and every person who is going out to start a new journey, indeed every person on this journey of faith, who will separate us from the love of God? Paul writes, will hardship or distress? Will peril or sword? Nope. In all things, we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us. For I am convinced, he says, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Beloved of God, gathered in the mystery of this hour, trust the reassurance of the faith that has brought us this far. Come, Holy Spirit, move, breathe, and work among us. Come, oh come.